we come to this screeching halt in verses 9 and 10. And the Lord says, now stop. There's somebody here I want to tell you about. Somebody here that's more honorable than the other names I've been giving you. It's a familiar two verses to some of you. Maybe to others it's a new scripture, but listen, 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10, and Jabez, for you Hebrew people, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. This is our prayer for these meetings. And enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So here is a man that is more honorable than the rest. Why is he more honorable than his brethren? I believe it's because of the passion that he has for the Lord. Say, how do you know that? Because of verse 10, he called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, you know those two little letters forming a word, oh. Did you see the intensity, the passion that's involved in that? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. You know, his prayers are not mediocre, status quo, go with the flow, ho-hum praying, where sometimes we can put our mind on autopilot when we're in our prayer lives and we go through things in a prayer list or whatever you feel like you need to pray about, and there's no passion there, there's no intensity there. Many times it's because it's the right thing to do and you're in the mechanics of it all. And we don't want that, do we? No, he had an intensity and a passion. Oh, is that how your prayer life begins? Oh, Lord God, there's things I'm needing your blessing in. Three things that we want for our meetings. You know, passion. Psalm 42, 1 and 2, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my heart after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Is the Lord Jesus Christ a living reality in your life? Or are we just spinning our wheels? Just going through the motions, the mechanics of spirituality and Christianity. There are many, many believers that fill our churches. And I'm in a church, a different church every week of every year. And there are many who are stagnant. Nothing worse than stagnating Christianity. Stagnant, complacent, lethargic, apathy, half-heartedness. Double-mindedness, lukewarmness, meandering in the valley of mediocrity, status quo, go with the flow, Christianity. I hope that doesn't describe your Christian life and experience. I trust you are filled with passion and with delight. And with a spring in your step and a sparkle in your eye for the Lord Jesus, who loves you, who gave himself for you, shed his blood for you, rose again for you, is living for you, is coming again for you. And so this man had a passion intensity, I think, that we all need. And, you know, one of the things these meetings can do is rekindle that. Revival. Do you like revival? Rekindling, recalibrating, refreshing. We need that. And that's part of what evangelists do. I hope I can come in and stir up some slumbering embers in your soul. Yes, you're saved. Yes, there's a little pilot light. You ever do that? Oh, the pilot light went out. Well, I'm glad the pilot light can't go out in your salvation, but sometimes we need to throw some fuel on there, which we intend to do this week. And so Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. His mother, if you know the Old Testament economy, it was the fathers who named their children. So where's the father? That could be why she named him Sorrow. Jabez means sorrow. It means pain. Can you ever think about naming your children pain? Sometimes they can be a pain. Well, I mean, sometimes they can frustrate us, even as parents. But I know these young people, you never frustrate your parents because you are the epitome of obedience and subjection and respect for the authority of your parents. Am I right? Give me a nod. That's called feedback. Yes, that describes me pretty much. Yep. So anyway, pain, it's time to come in for dinner. Pain, it's time to get up for school. Pain, what a name. You know, names meant something in the Old Testament. There was always a conscious meaning to somebody's name. Now, my name is Randall. Randall. But I'm sure my parents had no clue or idea what that meant when they were naming me on January 15th, 1956. What were you doing in January 1956? You remember what you were doing? Let's name him Randall. You know what Randall means? House wolf. House wolf. You know, if you go to those souvenir shops, they'll have a nice little plaque with Randall on there, and they have the slogan below, Protector. I reckon you got a wolf in your house. Your house is probably protected. House wolf. But I do have to say, when there's a full moon, things happen to me. Boo! You know, so anyway, she's got to put up with that, you know. But Jabez means sorrow. Pain. And because the mother named him, there was no doubt some sorrowful circumstances. Probably the husband, the father, has died or has taken off. But whatever the sorrowful circumstances were that caused her to name her son pain, sorrow, God turned it around for something very honorable. And that's the wonderful thing about the way our Lord works. No matter what painful, sorrowful circumstances or trials or tribulations you may be in right now or will go through in future days, the Lord can turn that right around and make it something honorable, because the Bible says, and we know it, and most of us can quote it, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know, or at least we say we do. We know all things. Lord, you can't mean all things. Surely you mean some things or most things. You certainly can't mean all things work together for good. You must not know who I'm married to. You must not know about my wayward children. You must not know about my medical situation, my health concerns. You must not know about my financial concern for you to say all things work together for good. But that's what he said. And you, dear young people, the earlier in your life you come to realize that and believe it and trust the Lord through it, you will have a much more blessed experience with Christ. So he says there's three things we need. Jabez is going to give us the three requests that we have of God for this week. Three things we want God to do this week. I hope you're with me. Are you with me? Okay. Sometimes you people scare me. Man, you got to get with it. Three things, and they all begin with a G for you homiletically minded people out there. Three things he asks for. The first thing is this: enlarge my coast. Now, we're going to give that a G. What do you think we would give that for a G for my outline? Enlarge my coast. Who? What's that? Growth. Did somebody say that? Growth. We want growth. That's one of our great requests for this week. We have 4 days together, and our prayer is that the Lord would bless us with growth. First of all, spiritual growth. Because that's the way it's supposed to happen, isn't it? 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's the will of God. And wherever you are in your Christian experience, whether you got saved a few months ago or a few years ago or many years ago, God still wants us to grow. We never attain, do we? The word of God, the inerrant, infallible words of the living God preserved to every generation is inexhaustible, isn't it? I got saved 43 years ago, been studying my Bible for 43 years, and I still don't know it all. I'm still growing. I want to grow spiritually. I trust you do. This week can be a real week of spiritual growth for you, but we got to come. I don't know, Pastor Bliss, there's this strange phenomena. And maybe you can help me with this, brother. Somehow I preach better when there's people out there. The same with you? Man, makes a big difference. And so we want spiritual growth, but we've got to come. We've got to be here. Now, are there legitimate conflicts that somebody would really want to be here, but they can't because of other appointments? That happens, doesn't it? There are those with legitimate conflicts when it comes to Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. But I'm talking about those, if you could be here, would you choose to be here? If you could, you're not really hindered, you're still alive, you're not on a sick bed, you're not working, it's just a matter of choosing. And that's what we need because we want to grow. Ephesians 4:14 and says that no more tossed to and fro. Be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but that we may grow up. Are you parents ever tempted to say to your children, why don't you grow up? Why are you acting like a little kid? You're now 33 years old. Why are you acting like a little kid? No, maybe you're 13. Or whatever. Grow up! Well, God says that. Let's grow up spiritually. 2 Peter 3:18, with that you may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's certainly an opportunity this week because the entire 4 days of this conference, I'm going to be giving you the words of Jesus Christ himself. You know, I'd be very alarmed if my children stopped growing. I don't know who's got the youngest children in here. Let's say I'm a parent and I have a child who's 4 years old. But now they're 18 years old and they still look like they're four. They still behave like they're four. I reckon long before they got to age 18, I'd have brought them to some pediatrician somewhere. Said, doctor, something's wrong. My little Bobby, he's 18 years old, but he still looks like he's four. He hasn't been growing. That'd be very alarming. Don't you folks want to get taller and older and wiser? Can't believe Mackenzie's got a driver's license. Amen. Little Kenzie? I said, well, thanks for the warning. I'll be looking. Well, boy, our kids grow up, and we want them to grow up. That's normal. We're alarmed if our children stop growing. Something wrong with the pituitary gland, and you got to bring them to some gland specialist. Say, something's wrong. But are we as alarmed at saved, born-again, blood-bought children of God who are not growing? That ought to alarm us. I remember as a pastor, First Baptist Church, Pasco, Washington, right up the road, right up on 84 there, well off of there. Pastored a great church, and I, as the pastor, was very alarmed at those who had been saved 10, 20, 30, some even 40 years who still acted like babies spiritually. Yeah, I'll make a statement. Let's see if you can get it. Some of you get it maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. All the babies in the church are not necessarily in the nursery. You get it? I remember as a pastor, sometimes I got to spiritually burp people. Sometimes I got to spiritually change their diapers. They've been saved for a while, but they're babies. You got to be very careful what you say around them because they're so sensitive. Amen. That offended me. And you know what? leaving the church. Oh, he used to grind me. You baby, why don't you grow up? So sensitive of what people say, so easily offended. I'm leaving. Yeah, they need spiritual growth, don't they? I hope that's not you. Yeah, not every baby in the church is in the nursery. And that's alarming. It is to a pastor. It's alarming. Why do you have pictures on your wall of some charismatic apostate preacher, and the only reason you got that picture is you sent money to him? I mean, you don't have any more discernment than that? Hey, don't give a penny to Benny. Benny Hinn. You know, his nephew, Costi Hinn, is the assistant pastor of our daughter's church in Arizona. And he wrote a book exposing his own uncle. Amazing. Nephew Costi Hinn writes a book saying, my uncle is off his rocker, you know, and just don't follow my uncle. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? And so we want to be alarmed at believers that aren't growing. But this week can be a real growing time. I tell you what, we're going to come in here these 4 days and put on the old feed bag. I trust that we'll give you a feeding and that you'll grow. So we want numerical growth. That's normal. That's what we want. We want to see it in believers this week. And then numerical growth. We want numerical growth. I've been coming here since the year 2000, so I've been coming to this church for 19 years. This is my ninth series of meetings. Not only my ninth series of meetings, we've had 4 Sunday meetings along the way. So let's see, 9 times in a series of meetings and 4. Let's see, what's that math? 9 plus 4. Oh, somebody help me. Yeah, 13 times. You have seen this face 13 times. I know it's a horrible thing, but it's hard to forget a face that looks like this. I'm glad that you remember us. But we want to see numerical growth. Wouldn't you love to see every single chair filled? Wouldn't you love to see adding chairs? Wouldn't you love to see the back partition there no longer needed because we got chairs back there? It can happen. The potential is there. The Lord Jesus is the head of your church, and he'll certainly give you the direction about how to make that happen. We want to see numerical growth. I don't know about you. I'd like to see somebody saved this week. Amen. Especially Friend Day would be a great start, wouldn't it? Amen. In this next hour. I don't know what you all did as far as inviting friends for Friend Day. I hope many are coming in. You know, usually if you feed them, they'll come. And so let's be praying about Friend Day and then also about the message after the dinner. You know what a challenge that is for me to preach to you after a big belly full. And I'll be looking. If I catch you sleeping, I will send you a bill because anesthesiologists get paid big bucks to put people to sleep. So if I put you to sleep, you're going to get my bill. Well, you better stay awake and alert. Numerical growth, that is also normal. Spiritual growth, numerical growth, that is the normal part of a believer's life and a church's life. Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That was normal in the book of Acts, wasn't it? Acts 16:5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. We want to see that number section in your bulletin. You see it this morning? We want that to grow. We want to be like Jabez. Enlarge my coast. I don't know what his coast is. I don't know if it's territorial. Is it agricultural? Is it economical? What is it? I don't know, but he wants more of it. You know, there is a place to be unsatisfied in your Christian experience. I want more spiritual growth. We want more numerical growth, not just a statistical pride, not just a, we like to see those numbers in the bulletin. And every pastor wrestles with it. I certainly did at First Baptist Pasco. We started putting those numbers in the bulletin. but I got too concerned about that. Little transparency time. If our numbers were up, sometimes we'd run 250. And then we go down under 200. I mean, that's beside the point. But, man, my emotions fluctuated with that. At least us, I'm not saying you, but I finally told my secretary, don't put the numbers in the bulletin. I can't handle it. If they're up, man, I'm up. If it's down, I'm down. You know, that's not right. We don't want numbers to govern our emotions like that, but we do want people to be saved. Amen. We do want growth. Do we not? Amen. Thank you. Well, you know what? If we're going to see numerical growth, there's only one way that's going to happen. What do you think that is? We got to get busy. We have to begin a real witnessing in our own hearts and lives. Every believer is a witness for Christ. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. Why do you have to receive power? Because you don't have it in yourself. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto me. That's not if you want to be or choose to be. It's not optional. The Great Commission is not the great suggestion. The Great Commission is not the great option. The Great Commission is the Great Commission that affects every one of us who know the name of Christ. Every believer is a witness. What's a witness? You go to a court of law and you take the witness stand and you raise your right hand and put your hand on a Bible. Not on the Quran like those two silly congresswomen we have who are Islamic. I tell you, people sure forgot about 9/11, didn't they? We're going to elect Islamic people to our... Because that is their agenda, by the way. Read the books. The agenda, the terrorist agenda for the West is to infiltrate, get enough Islamic people in Michigan and in Minnesota. And then when you reach a certain number of those, you start crying out for your Islamic rights and your phobo-Islamic. If you don't give us what we want! And then people actually vote for them and put them in our own government. They infiltrate our education system. They infiltrate our neighbors. They infiltrate our government with what is their goal? Take over! That is no lie. They have a strategy to take over our country. And the fact that we'd even elect them to our government disturbs me. Do I sound angry? How'd I get on that subject? But the point is, we take a witness stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Yes. Tell us what you saw. Tell us what you heard. Tell us what you experienced. That's a witness. Here's what I saw. Here's what I heard. Here's what happened to me. Paul the Apostle used that very effectively in giving his testimony. And then somewhere along the way, that witness crosses into soul winning. Remember the Apostle Paul, he gives his whole testimony to Herod Agrippa II in Acts 26, and then he said, now what happened to me can happen to you, Agrippa. Do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. See, the moment you say, this is what you need, you cross the line from witness to soul winning. If you're giving your testimony and telling what you saw and what you heard are very non-threatening. That's how you begin with people. I've given my testimony countless numbers of times as an opening to share the gospel with that person, but being a witness, every one of us are witness. Out of the great pool of witnesses, some of you will be soul winners. And so that's how numerical growth is going to come. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So you don't make yourself a fisher of men. You don't have it in you, neither do I. There is an intrinsic, innate, inner fear of rejection that every one of us battles. Am I right? Not that we're afraid to share the gospel. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of ridicule, mockery. We don't want to be odd for God. How about that at school, kids? You want to be odd for God? You want to be a teenager that's on fire for God? A teenager that influences your school? You don't care what any other teen says or thinks? No, the problem is we love acceptability. I don't want to be different. I want to be accepted by my classmates. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to bring my Bible to school. We're not going to trying to help my classmates come to a saving knowledge of God, or the people you work with, your neighbors, your family. We fear rejection. We fear man so much because we fear God so little. Acceptability. Peer pressure can't handle it. I don't want somebody saying, there comes that fanatic. Oh, I don't want that. See, we got to decide how real is Jesus Christ in our life. Forgive me, many believers are playing games. That's right. Jesus Christ has not yet become a living reality in your life. But when he does, you won't be able to keep your mouth shut. If you're not there yet, that's my prayer for you, maybe this week. You want numerical growth to happen is because we get on board. We have 1 Corinthians 3:9. God says, you're co-laborers together with God. What an honor. What a privilege. We have a message that can change the eternal destiny of people we share it with. I don't know if that's ever gripped your mind. And so we want growth. We want to have spiritual growth this week. We want to have numerical growth because you invited people for Friday, because we're going to continue to invite people Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. That's how it's going to happen. Not only do we want growth, we want guidance. Guidance, verse 10 of our text in 1 Chronicles 4, that thine hand might be with me. Keep your hand upon me. Guide my life. We want guidance, and the Lord can certainly give us guidance this week as we're listening to the Word of God. Maybe there are questions you need answers to. Maybe there are problems you need solutions for. Maybe there's things that are troubling your soul that God will bring to light, certain things that will help you this week. That thine hand might be with me. Psalm 32:8. God says, I will instruct thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. You know what it is to be guided with the eye? How about you young people? Do your parents ever guide you with their eyes? Boy, my wife is the master of the eye. Boy, our kids knew when they got the eye that my wife, their mother, was guiding them with her eyes. Of course, I sometimes get the eye myself. How about you husbands? You ever get the eye? But the Lord said, I will guide thee with mine eye. I want guidance. Lord, speak to me this week. Guide my life. Isaiah 30:21, thine ears shall hear word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Now, you're probably not going to hear a whole lot of new things this week that you've never heard before, because that's what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, not that you don't know these things, Peter said. I'm stirring you up by way of remembrance. We are such forgetful people, aren't we, when it comes to spiritual things. So there are certain areas that need to be continually stirring our hearts. We're going to be reminded of some things. Why did you have a communion table with these words, in remembrance of me? Why would the Lord Jesus need to institute an ordinance in the local church for no other reason but, don't forget me. Never forget what I've done for you. Never take for granted my battered and bashed and tortured life, my shed blood, my death for you on the cross, the resurrection, the blood. Never forget it. The problem is we do forget it. We're making decisions in life, and I'm deciding whether I'm going to give in to this temptation or not. That's the time I need to remember him. He died to deliver me from this world system. Then why am I flirting around with this world? The adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be the friend of the world is the enemy of God, and yet we flirt around with it. We're believers. We're blood-bought, we're heaven-bound, and yet we so forget. And so I surely will be reminding you of some things this week. Well, guidance, and then finally, guardianship, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. And it may not grieve me. There's certain things that God wants to share with us this week to guard us from evil. See, the Lord loves you. And I hope you young people, I'm so glad you're in our class today. You know, the Lord loves you. He wants to give you guardianship. He may use your parents to set some proper biblical spiritual parameters for our lives. God does it in His Word. He sets statutes. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We rejoice that our Father so loves us that He sets certain parameters and boundaries and says, now, don't cross these boundaries. Why? Because if you do, there are harmful things that are going to affect your spiritual life. Have you ever been out in a pasture and there's a barbed wire fence and you see some horse or some cow with their head through the barbed wire trying to get the grass on the other side of the fence? And to be honest, sometimes we're like that. We see the world's grasses out there. Maybe it's flashy, maybe it's worldly. We don't care, we want it. And so here we are as believers with our head through the barbed wire of the parameters that God has established for us, and we're eating in the poisonous grasses of this world. You eat poison grass, you're going to have a very, very sick tummy spiritually. So we want guidance. We want those parameters. We want to be guarded against the wicked one. Matthew 6:13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Literally, the evil one. The devil has a plan, an agenda for your life. And he'd love you to follow him rather than God. Every command of Scripture, the devil's going to come to you and say, nah, you don't need to obey that. I got a better way. I got an easier way for you. And you listen to the devil rather than God. You give the devil what he's always wanted. He wants to be your God. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah 14:14. So the devil wants you to follow him rather than the true and living God, even though you're a believer. So we've got to resist that. Keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. Keep me from the evil one. Keep me from this evil world system, Galatians 1:4. This world out here is no friend of Jesus Christ. This world system out here is no friend of God or the Bible. Everything out there is anti-Bible. And just give me victory over my flesh. I don't know about you, but I don't trust my flesh as far as I can throw it. Give me victory in my mind. Guard my mind. Guard my mouth. Guard my manners. Perhaps this week you're going to hear things from the pulpit that God is going to say, I love you. These are some parameters I have for you. These are some boundaries, and you've been crossing over those to your own hurt and detriment spiritually. And I'm asking you now, I'm convicting you that you need to get right with those things. If God speaks to you in that way, will you listen? See, God's not going to guide you if you're not willing to follow. God's not going to teach you if you're not willing to learn. That's why some kind of these revival ministries go right over some people's head, because they don't have a heart to know what God's will is. They've already determined how they want to serve God. I'll serve you the way I want to serve you, thank you. They don't want to serve God based on the writings of the New Testament or Old Testament. And so you've got to want God to do something in your life this week. You have to be like Jabez. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. That's growth. Keep your hand upon me. That's guidance. Keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. God doesn't want you to be grieved. But when we choose to sin against him, it brings grief and sorrow. And so we want victory and deliverance over that. And the exciting conclusion, and God granted him that which he requested. Do you think if we ask God this week for growth and guidance and guardianship, those three G's, would God grant our request? I believe so. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask you with Jabez of old that you would bless us indeed this week at Lakeshore Baptist Church. These dear people, we've known some of them for many years. And Lord, may we cry out with Jabez for growth, spiritual and numerical. We want to see people saved. We want to see backslidden believers restored, rejuvenated, revived. We want to see you do a great and mighty work in all of our hearts and lives this week. Guide us, guard us, help us, stir our hearts. By way of remembrance, we confess that so many times we take you for granted. We forget what you've done for us when we're making life's choices. Help us, Lord, in this time of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord, Peter said in Acts 8. So, Lord, we ask your blessing. Thank you for these dear people for coming to Sunday school. We always love the Sunday school crowd. Those who consider this hour valuable, they come out an hour earlier. We have the big influx at 11, but these people have chosen with a spiritual appetite to come and get an extra helping of your word. Bless us all. Prepare us for the next hour. Move mightily by your spirit in this next hour. May the word of God go forth powerfully, and that the grace of God might minister to many people today. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Are we ready?